has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Looks like we're getting a little bit of a reprieve here, at least so far today, from rising oil prices, rising interest rates, falling markets. Right now we have the Dow up 73 points. It's at 33,623. The NASDAQ is up 9 points, just barely in the positive. It's at 13,100. The S&P 500 is up 12. It's at 4,287. Small caps up 33 basis points right now. And crude oil, finally, it's down a buck. 92.69, pain at the gas pump coming to a gas station near you very soon. Gold is down 90 cents to $1,890. Silver is down 56 or 5 cents to 22.78. And once again, interest rates are up almost unbelievably. It just really defies logic. I can't explain it. But it is what it is. They continue to trash the bond market.
The 10 years tape sometimes.
No, the 10 years up 5 basis points to 4.67%. That seems to be the course of least resistance. And Bitcoin is down $53 to $26,558 per coin. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. What a week it's been, Barry. There's really been plenty of news to talk about each and every day.
Yeah, it's good to see at least some stabilization. After Monday and Tuesday, seeing that seeing the markets mostly positive yesterday, they kind of got much closer to flat by the end of the day yesterday. But at least the NASDAQ was positive. I think S&P was pretty much flat, and the Dow was down just a bit. But a lot of things going on. We got the PCE index tomorrow. We've got about 4 or 5 Fed speakers today. We had a couple yesterday. Weekly jobless claims this morning. Maybe the last weekly jobless claims we get for a little while, depending on what happens up in Washington in terms of the potential looming shutdown there. So it might be the last few data points we get for a bit.
Yes, and I'm just going to apply here my experience over the last 2+ decades, especially watching the fourth quarter of every year, which October is usually and November kind of the volatile months in the market. I believe, I'm just telling you from my years of experience, I believe that once this sell-off is over in the markets and they get a budget deal, I think we're going to have a really good finish to the year. So that's just using my experience and what I've witnessed in the past and what I'm seeing right now. And I say that for a couple of reasons. The oversold position of the S&P 500 has reached an extreme right now. You got to go back 1 year to see it at this extreme, oversold that is. You've also got, I think, oil overbought, extremely overbought, and I think you've got the bond market extremely oversold, way oversold. And in the meantime, nobody's talked about earnings for a long time. Earnings have just taken a back seat like they don't even exist. We're still looking for $240 in earnings over the next 12 months, $240 to $250, something like that, which will be record earnings versus the $220 that we're supposed to have this year. So that's the little thing that goes unnoticed, but that's the thing that always I come back to at the end of the day.
I have seen delayed data, but yep. You know, the GDP revision today, actually, I think it's the second revision for second quarter GDP, popped profits, which actually also includes profits from, you know, non-publicly traded companies, actually, and were revised upwards. So it kind of plays into that narrative that you were just discussing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I've seen a few warnings here and there, from companies. I think today, Workday did a warning.
NextEra was the worst one yesterday.
NextEra, which is a utility,
more of an integrated utility. Yeah, they do some. You know, they do a lot of wind and solar projects along with normal power, right,
yes.
Or whatever that means. But yeah, so and I think part of their, I'm sure some of their outlook had to do with some of that, alternative energy, projects. So.
Now, I say this every time earnings season comes along. I say, this is going to be the most important earnings season of all time.
Yeah, I can't wait
for
the earnings narrative.
This is going to be an important earnings season coming up because it's going to set the tone for 2024, which we're looking for a pretty good year in the market, believe it or not, in 2024. If we can get interest rates to start backing down, if we can get a budget deal, keep the government open, maybe get some cuts somewhere. Something's got to give somewhere. And if we can get oil prices dropping again, I think we're set up for a pretty and we're at a forward PE of 17.8 as of yesterday, 17.8.
And an 83% only an 83% chance of the Fed standing pat again or pausing again, whatever you want to call it, basically not raising at the next meeting in November 1st. So it's already up to an 83% chance there, 63% chance of no move in December on the December 13th meeting. So some of this market, especially the 10-year going up, is really doing some of the work for the Fed themselves.
Exactly. Now, here's a strike against the market, is the continued stickiness. Now, when they hand the guy the paper on the initial jobless claims, it sticks to his hand. It's got glue all over it and the sticky stuff. That has been the stickiest area of the market. We cannot get jobless claims to go up, which I'm sure you're saying, well, that's a good thing. Yes, but it's inflationary, and that seems to be the one inflationary area of the market that remains with us that has not cooled off yet. It's the jobs market.
Mm-hmm. In your openings, I will say your openings, I was looking at putting those numbers in context, why they've been so sticky, right? And job openings have been coming down. Of course, jobless claims have basically stayed the same. And been very sticky. So at some point, right, those openings, right, as they continue to come down, will create the opportunity, right, for more jobless claims. And in this data, I don't believe any of the, they were surprising that none of the strike data, right, hit the weekly jobless claims, because if you have a plant and folks are on strike, it doesn't count towards weekly jobless claims. But if you have some other workers who aren't striking but the plant can't open because they don't have enough workers, those people can get counted towards the weekly jobless claims, but none of those have really hit this particular week.
Well, the Biden administration wants to make them eligible for unemployment insurance, the striking workers, even though they have a job. That would be unprecedented, but they are aiming for that. Maybe that'll show up in the weekly jobless.
I think they get 500. I think from what I saw in terms of UAW, I think they're giving them about 500 bucks a week is what I saw, just in terms of in terms of those striking workers. But
yes, my father was a member of the Scenic and Pictorial Artist Union.
That's
in Los Angeles.
Wow,
I can remember, he painted pictorials on billboards and also backdrop scenery, stuff like that. I can remember when the union, he hated his union, I can just tell you that. In the end of the day, the guy who ran the union absconded with all the union funds, so he... but I can remember when he'd go on strike. I mean, we would resort to like canned beans, Campbell's soup, all this kind of stuff, because it's not easy to get through especially a smaller union like that. Okay, then the other one. Now, here's just some ammo for the soft landing, folks. U.S. GDP rises 2.1% in Q2, unchanged. Unchanged, no change to prior estimates. So you've got inflation going down and growth remaining intact, and that is the definition of a soft landing. But we're looking back at Q2. What about Q3, which we'll get here pretty soon in about 3 or 4 weeks, and Q4? Can they keep the economy growing while they continue to fight inflation? That's called threading the needle. There's those. I would say the majority think they're on track to do it, but there's those that say there's no way. I think they're on track to do it. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we just went positive for the day, so that makes me happy. Puts a smile on my face. AMD is our biggest gainer today. For whatever reason, I'm not sure why. It's up 2.9% today, 2.9% on AMD.
Well, when Micron had a pretty strong report, I think, or at least a decent report yesterday. I don't know if that has...
The question with Micron, have those memory prices bottomed? Because they've been under pressure for a long time.
Very commoditized business. We own the, which is why we own the bond.
We own the bond.
Good bond on the stock side. It's been, and they've had challenges for years. I mean, they were in that storage space and, it became very, very commoditized pretty quickly. It's one of those, their business and Cisco's in terms of the, remember the old switches, right? Server switches, right? The business got a little bit saturated and more competitive.
I saw one analyst report this morning on Micron saying, wow, this looks like a pretty good bottom here finally.
I mean, it's some mixed guidance.
I saw another one that said Micron is sandbagging. They're guiding super low, really conservative, so they can have a strong report next time around.
Yeah, known as the earnings game, by the way.
Now, okay, the breaking news last night, I thought this would impact the markets today more than it is, but it's not. Evergrande stock is suspended in Hong Kong as the chairman is under surveillance. Isn't everybody under surveillance in China?
We didn't get to this one yesterday, but they basically took him into custody, and I forget his name exactly, but took him into custody yesterday, and then like you said, today I believe the stock is not trading. So has a bit of a remember the Alibaba when
Jack Ma.
Yeah, in this case, though, this guy, I mean, essentially they could, it's been an issue, and Xi's been, kind of mad about, some of these property companies in general, and, this could be, he could be a perfect scapegoat, right, for just the whole industry as a whole and a reset, right, in the property with, on Xi's, instead of it being, the economy's fault, right, it'd be more this particular person's fault, right?
And they can seize all the property.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, okay. We're changing the locks, pal. So. He is a billionaire,
He was. Yeah, or he was, yeah. We'll see.
I don't know about anymore. Now he's in a prison suit. Anyways, it's a busy day. I guess they're getting it all out of the way before the government potentially shuts down. You got three Fed speakers, including Jerome Powell at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time doing a town hall.
Yeah, I was wrong whenever I said that he was either going to have mountains in the background or be on a beach.
He's going to have a blackboard.
Apparently it's a virtual town hall. Yeah, the one I'm interested to hear this morning or this afternoon is going to be Birkin, who Thomas Birkin, he's the president of Richmond Fed, but he's you know, former, you know, he's actually was a CFO for a company, right? Not just you know, in the middle of a, you know, not a, just an economist, in other words. And so he has always got an interesting perspective. And Kashikari, our Minneapolis Fed, he yesterday actually said that you know, that he didn't think that they're going to need to raise any more rates because the strike and shutdown and potentially other things are doing the work for him.
So. He likes to get headlines. I don't.
Oh, he loves it. He speaks as much as possible.
Yes. Now, Germany's inflation drops to 4.5%, which surprises me with the big spike in oil, but that's a good sign. In fact, West Texas Intermediate crude hit $95 last night for the first time in over a year. Now, it's backed off today. But you know, it was on the supply, the inventory reports out of Cushing, and from what I'm hearing and what I read, Cushing is going down rapidly, the supplies, and we're entering maintenance season. Okay, for the pipelines, the refineries, and etc. And I've heard several forecasts that say oil supplies are going to remain tight. Mm-hmm. For the rest of the year, so
yeah, we had it. Talked to a client out in San Diego yesterday. They've got over $6 gas prices at the pump at the moment already. So.
Yeah, $6. We're at about $3.50, $3.40, something like that. California has about $2 in taxes. It's not that much, but it's a lot. It's the highest, one of the highest in the entire state. And of course, yesterday I saw that Exxon. You know, they had to shut down an offshore platform a few years back, and they've got it all fixed and everything. And, of course, they go to the courtroom, the judge, can we restore our pipeline? They said, yeah, you have the right to do that, but how are you going to transport the oil? They said, well, we're going to truck it. And they said, no, you're not. So that one is not going to reopen, I don't think. Exxon closed the stock at a record high as crude oil climbs to its best level in 13 months. I would just say, looking at the charts of the stocks yesterday, the energy sector, the energy patch, it's just unbelievable how strong those stocks are. Now, I'm going to look at Exxon today. I got to believe it's pulling back a little bit. But it broke out. Exxon broke out yesterday. It's flat today. Chevron broke out yesterday. Conoco broke out yesterday. Occidental Petroleum broke out yesterday. That's the one that Buffett owns. And it looks like these stocks probably going to continue to head higher. And there's no will on the, you know, the Biden administration to, you know, release our capacity to somehow ramp up our supply here, pumping here in the U.S. Valero's having a good day too. It's up 2.2% today. So anyways, there's a lot of oil stories. In fact, there's another one here. Here's one other one. Speaking of the oil stocks, don't forget the oil service stocks.
Halliburton.
Oh, my gosh. Halliburton and SLB and several of those. And I saw one here today, FTI, which has been showing up on my screen, along with about every energy service stock, because in the Best Stocks Now app, everything is gauged on a relative basis, all right? So obviously your top-ranked stocks right now are littered, are full of energy-related stocks. FTI is one of them. But I saw that FTI got a contract for $1 billion today to work with Equinor on their Rose Bank project, which is in the North Sea off of UK. So that's a really big contract. FTI... you can keep an eye on that one. I don't like Equinor because it's a European company, and they just have. You think our oil companies have the wind in their face and obstacles in their way? Try being a European company where most of their fields are off limit, or they have quotas, or rare birds, rare whales, rare crickets, anything to stop them from drilling for oil. Okay. some individual stocks in the news when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, or second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan still expects a soft landing as consumer spending stays strong. Now, I keep hearing differing opinions. For instance, I believe it was CarMax reported today, and they had a terrible quarter. They blamed their big whiff on earnings, number one, on the price of cars nowadays, which is a lot higher than they used to be, especially if you're going electric. Number two, the cost of borrowing. That's got to be a big factor in the auto industry, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can tell you, I remember from CarMax when you could get a loan from Bank of America for 2.3% for six years on a used car. I saw, you know, some figures like that, and I'm thinking that's got to be the worst loan ever for Bank of America. I mean, 2.3 on a depreciating asset for 6 years.
Yeah.
But those are, you know, that helps you. Those things will help you sell cars, right? And turn it around where we're at now. I've seen rates like 9% or more, even for like prime borrowers. It's crazy.
And a lot of people can't qualify. And then the fourth thing they blamed it on was consumer sentiment, weakening consumer sentiment. Now, we've seen that. Dollar Tree blamed their problems on that. A couple others, CarMax now. Now, these are lower-end companies that are at the lower end of the consumer scale. I'm not really seeing that weak consumer sentiment. Either is Brian Moynihan. He says consumer spending remains strong. And, you know, consumer spending a lot of times is very correlated with the unemployment rate, right? Everybody's employed. Nobody's getting laid off. That's going to keep the consumer pretty strong. So anyways, that is where that. Now, back to Micron just for a minute. KeyBank kept his overweight rating, citing encouraging signs of a price bottom. That's in their product that they make. He also pointed out the company believes that the fourth quarter was the bottom in memory pricing, and pricing should improve over the next several quarters with a return to positive gross margins and earnings per share in the second half of next year. Well, I'm still going to pass on the stock. I'll take the bond, thank you, but I have never been a fan of a Micron stock, except in the early days. I mean, Micron was one of the biggest winners of all time.
Yeah, one certainly early on. Yeah, check that lifetime chart out.
Oh.
Take a look at that one.
So. Yeah, I mean, that was a major breakthrough, those flash memory chips, mm-hmm. DRAM. I remember SRAM coming along. And then there was another one which was random. It spun instead of being. And I had the CEO on my show from the company. And we talked about their technology, but it never really did take off. Las Vegas hospitality workers set for a strike against the hotels and the casinos. Well, you know, that's
glad I got back from there in time.
Yeah, that's an ongoing thing. This is the SEIU for the most part, the Culinary Workers Union Local. These are the people that set up the buffets, Local 226, and the cooks and the dishwashers and all that, and bartenders overwhelmingly voted to authorize a strike on the Las Vegas Strip. 53,000 hospitality workers are in active negotiations with the casino hotel employees for a new 5-year contract.
And doing it in the middle of, right at the beginning of football season, right? You know, so they've
holidays.
Got a, yeah, they've got a, they picked, I don't know if it worked out that when, that's when the contract was going to end, but they certainly picked an opportune time in terms of where, you know, the Strip will need to get them back to work at some point.
Well, Seeking Alpha is pointing out the same observation that I've made. The U.S. has been witnessing a wave of labor strikes in recent months.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mean, look, you've got a current administration that is for the worker and for the laborer. I don't know if President Biden will go out and march in the culinary worker union in Vegas, but he certainly did their showing his solidarity with them in the United Auto Workers. So there have just been a rash of of strikes. Okay, I remember, too, you go back, you know, some of these stocks were huge winners. I remember when Chico's was one of the hottest stocks in the entire market, believe it or not.
Is that, that's the apparel, it was an apparel company, correct?
Chico's, and they own the black and white, white and black market,
right,
and a few other brands.
So it got, today.
Yeah, they're getting bought out by Sycamore Partners. I think the shareholders are sick of more drops in the stock. Chico started the day at about $4 a share. It's up 62%. So good luck. I mean, hopefully the Sycamore Partners can turn it around. It is one of the survivors in the mall space. I saw another one yesterday that was bought for like $17 million. It was BEB.
Oh yeah, BB or whatever. Yeah,
they
I remember when that was huge.
Yeah. And like some little private
late 90s,
equity,
early 2000s. Yeah,
yeah.
It was hot.
So you get these private equity firms that'll go in and buy distressed companies like this. I'm thinking of Joseph Bank, Men's Warehouse, Brooks Brothers. B-Bay, J.C. Penney's is still out there.
Well, and they keep them alive. So some
they
of these
keep
things,
them alive.
Yeah, some of these things, a lot of it has to do with lease contracts. So, like, for example, the reason that J.C. Penney has stayed around for so long and some of the other retailers, Sears for a while there, was because, you know, if you keep them all, a lot of their other leases are attached to the anchor store. So if you can keep the anchor store alive,
yeah,
then the other folks can't get out of their leases. They got to wait till their lease runs out. And so, yeah, you get these private equity companies that say, hey, we'll keep JCPenney alive for a little bit longer,
yeah,
while they're collecting rents from all the other poor companies who have no choice but to stay. So.
Yeah, it's a tough business, man. Mm-hmm. Really tough. Okay, now here's the warning of the day. Workday, which is a big software subscription company for finance and human resources. You know, I would put them in the same bucket as Oracle in a way. Now, ServiceNow, Salesforce, etc. And they've warned. This is one of the weakest areas of the market right now, these software stocks. Very weak. Probably the weakest sector in the market. It's a very volatile sector because it trades at such high multiples. It's very interest rate sensitive. But they print profits. I mean, these companies, these software companies, Adobe, when you get the subscription model going. But Workday is warning on subscriptions, and the stock is down 10%. So I don't know if that represents the rest of that space, but that's kind of the first big warning, maybe the second besides that utility the other day.
With NextEra. Yeah.
For this coming quarter. Elon Musk SpaceX gets its first Pentagon contract for Starshield. Now, Starshield is impermeable, apparently. It's a secured satellite internet service designed for government entities. So what else isn't Elon into? Not only does he have Starlink for the general public, but now he has Starshield for the government. To send secret
essentially
messages.
It's like a closed-in, almost like a closed-in network, I guess.
Yes, and like satellites. GameStop pops. There's another one, you know. GameStop pops. We have one in our neighborhood. We still have one. I don't go into the place, but they've named Ryan Cohen. Oh, they
sell
do.
Drinks. They sell drinks there, like the Prime. Prime. They sell like Prime. What do you call it?
Oh,
I've
yeah.
Seen some
like,
weird.
It has a million grams of caffeine in it.
Yes.
Oh, while they're playing games.
Right.
Oh, exactly. What could be better for a kid? GameStop pops after naming Ryan Cohen, who started Chewy. Look, if you know dog biscuits, you got to know games. So, anyways, the stock popping a little bit there, and then of course CarMax, I would have to say, would be the other disappointment. None of these stocks do we have any interest in, but you know what? If you don't report the bad ones, it's all relative, and comparing one against another, we do that constantly in the stock market. And I would also make the general observation, which I've made many times in the past, out of my database, which is about 5,800, the vast majority of them are mediocre. We're talking at least 5,000, right? That's right. Mediocre. You have so much mediocrity in the market. That's why it's best to focus on the best stocks now. And even they, you know, they're not immune to moves in the market. But when the market settles down, they're the ones that come flying back because they're the best growers in the market. We'll be right back. We'll take a little look underneath the surface of the market. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. How about a stock that's up 415% today? No, it's not in our emerging growth portfolio. I wish it was. Bionomics. This could be a big deal. BNOX rocketed 415% in morning trading after the Australian biotech reported positive top-line results from a study for its drug candidate for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD.
That's great.
This would be a major advance.
Yeah, for a second I thought it was an inverse fund of Bidenomics when you said
no,
and I'm like, oh, up 400%. That makes sense. But yeah,
no. The company said the phase 2B clinical trial. Listen to this. Met its primary endpoint of showing the treatment led to statistically significant reduction of PTSD symptom severity at 12 weeks. The study also met its secondary endpoint of improvements in depressive symptoms and sleep. So that's a big one. I didn't say anything about weight loss here, but, you know, can't have it all. Down, it's up 415%. What's the symbol again? BNOX. Now watch. Tomorrow, tonight, actually, after the close of the market tonight, they will announce a big secondary offering. Sometimes that tanks the stock the next day. Sometimes if the results are so robust, sometimes it has no impact on the stock when they do a secondary offering. So anyways, it's an $8 million. Is that what it is? Let me see what with this move here today, BNOX has a market cap of $30 million. So it's a micro cap. Okay, now the stock of the day for me, because it's the best performer in the S&P 500, it's the best performer in the NASDAQ. And I don't see any news, but AMD came down to its 200-day moving average. And, man, is it bouncing hard off of that. Now, when it hit its 200-day moving average, I sharpened my pencil on the valuation, and I came up with 80% upside potential at that point. So it came into that range of 75 to 80% or more upside potential. So not only did it meet a technical bottom there, but it also met a valuation. It went into a valuation range that made it attractive. It is up 3.4% today on really good volume. I don't see any news on it, but it's the stock of the day.
I don't either. I've seen if they had some kind of, kind of like an unveiling, right, of some kind of conference or something. But yeah, I don't see any real news regarding it.
Nope.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. The other stock, I'm going to call the second best stock of the day, just from my perspective here, would be United Health Group, which has been one of the most, it's like a pot that's boiling, trying to blow the lid off and break out. It's very close to breaking out. I have it with 85% upside potential. It's been a poor performer over the last couple of years. While everybody's chasing AI and chips and all this other stuff, healthcare has just not been a very popular sector. But they continue to grow their earnings. It's been steady, 14% growth over the last 5 years. That's per year. That's doubling their earnings every, 5 years or so. A yield of 1.5%, obviously out of Minnesota, Minnetonka. And it's threatening to break out today. It's up 1.7%. So it, too, has a good chart, and it has a good valuation right now. Now, a couple other duds that are having a good day. I have no interest in J.P. Morgan stock, the bank stocks, but it's up 1.9% today. Valero's having a good day. I'll call that number three. Best chart of the day. Valero's up 2.4% today. And then I'm going to throw out two more. Facebook, Meta, they had their big kind of unveiling yesterday of their AI strategy, which also includes those stupid virtual glasses that Metaverse. You put on and escape to the metaverse, it's all it takes is one of those caffeine drinks. And
I need to get you on the fishing game on that. I think you would like it. It'll make you feel like you're really fishing. It's pretty.
And I won't get a sunburn.
Yeah, my buddy that's a charter boat captain is like, you got to try this thing. So,
Okay, Meta Platforms is up 2.3% today. Now, listen, I'm just telling you, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, I check my valuations all the time. And I update them in the app all the time, especially the important, really important stocks. I show 90% upside potential, 90%, and it's bouncing off its 50-day, and they unveiled, like I say, their AI strategy going forward. We do own META. And then the last one I'll mention is Lam Research, LRCX, which makes equipment. That's my top pick in that sector. It's up 1.8% today, and we own that one, too. It's also a pretty good dividend pair. So there you go. We got a little better action here today than we've had. Tomorrow is the end of the quarter. Tomorrow is the deadline. The fiscal budget comes to an end. They need funding. Or they can open up several departments. I could choose the departments I hope would never open up again, but well, that would be most of them. I don't have time. Department of Education, the IRS, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, the newsletter tomorrow will be coming out. We made a big sale this week. I'm not going to disclose what it was.
And I saw an interesting story. I'll message you on that one here in a little while. Then
I'm sure the stock is up today because I sold it. No, it's not. No, I just think it's dead in the water. I really do.
They had some new items that they're selling that are heating up and getting warm when they're used and on a charger.
Oh, that's not good. That's never good. You can burn a parking garage down doing that. Now, so the newsletter becomes, and look, I'm going to talk about one we sold and hopefully one we bought in tomorrow's newsletter. GundersonCapital.com. I'll be updating my macro outlook once we get beyond this little crevice that we're going through in the market. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Sign up for an appointment with us in Detroit or virtually at GundersonCapital.com or call us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.